Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined once again with Max's top 10 finalist, Ricky Muliano. Ricky, welcome back to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks for having me again, man.
Man, I'm really excited to chat with you again about your experience with the challenge. But look, Ricky, just a few days ago, you found out that you made a repeat and made it into our top 10 once again. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
It's been exciting, man. The most exciting thing about it for me is enjoying food that I hadn't been able to enjoy for the last couple of months. So got to be careful at the end of these challenges where it's really easy to indulge, and when you have nothing to work towards, it's very easy to go back to eating the way you used to eat. So you have to be really careful. But yeah, I've been enjoying it, and at the same time enjoying finding new ways to prepare food that kind of feels like a cheat meal but it's not.
No, so good. Well, look, man, you should be so proud of the effort that you put in. Looking at your transformation in your physique, I will have to say it's definitely one of my favorite physiques. It sounds like you put in lots of work and effort, having read your profile here, to build your physique, where, it's a little bit of a shame that our competition is about body transformation and not about, you know, who has the very best physique. But, you know, looking at yours, man, I can see you stepping up on stage almost any day, and you should be so proud of the hard work and dedication that you put in. And of course, proud of the result that you've achieved.
I appreciate that, man.
Now, Ricky, I know a little bit about you, having spoken to you in the November challenge when you took out top 10 in that November challenge. And we have a podcast with Ricky already. This is now part two. So, Ricky, there are some people listening here who aren't sure who you are. Would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, maybe telling us quickly where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Ricky?
Right. So I was previously, last challenge, I was working for a blind company. I was one of the trainers there. I did mention that I was looking at transitioning into the fitness industry, which I sort of semi have. I'm now working for Virgin Active as a building services technician. So it's been a bit of adjusting. It's a bit of a change of pace, but it's all positive. I'm back to working in a gym again, and surrounded by like-minded people. The problem is I do get caught up in conversations around training and diet a lot, so my day can go pretty fast, and I'll get lost in those conversations. But I've been studying competition prep at the same time through an online university. Been writing a few diet plans for people, and playing around with my own diet to experiment, having a bit of fun with it. At the same time, I've been building my the gym I've got in my garage. So I've got a couple pieces of equipment, lining the walls properly because it's an old shed. Eventually, I'd like to start training people out of there, on top of what I'm doing at the moment. With my diet at the moment, I've been playing around writing diets for my brother, for a couple of friends, a few people at my wife's workplace. I'm really interested I've been really interested in applying carb cycling to my diet strategy at the moment, which I think is a really good way to go about it, just because we can try to manipulate the days around training so that we can lose fat and preserve, if not build, a little bit of muscle at the same time. But you got to be careful on these high carb days because, as I said, it's very easy to indulge when you have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah. Wow. What an update, Ricky. I'm sure you lots to break down here. So, firstly, tell me that your job at Virgin Active. Give us a little breakdown of that. You're like, are you training people or are you like in the building side of things? Like what? What type of role is it there?
No, I'm the building services technician. So basically, I'm maintaining the gym and make sure everything operates nice and smoothly. Mm-hmm. So anything from, you know, fixing equipment to painting, patching walls. I've got to manage the pool. I've got to manage the air conditioning. So it's a lot to learn, and a lot of it's brand new to me, which is good because I wasn't finding myself really challenged in my last role. So this is something different, and I'm definitely out of my comfort zone, which is a good thing.
Yeah. So are you predominantly training at Virgin Active, or are you doing more of your sessions at home in this home gym that you're building?
Mostly at work, because they give me a free gym membership. Do you know what? I spoke to you last time and I said that it was easier for me to train during lockdown because I had that my home gym set up. I really got used to training at home, and you, I'm sure you train at home as well, don't you?
I do, yeah, most of my sessions.
For me now, it feels like my workouts are a little bit distracting when I'm at the gym, or I feel like maybe because it's my workplace, I've got to rush a little bit. I kind of prefer to train at home, which I do on the weekends. But 5 days a week at the moment is at the gym. Probably looking at starting a little bit later some days and training from home a couple of those days.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit about your home gym now. What pieces of equipment are you building into your little pad?
Man, I've got a squat rack. I had a squat rack. Initially, that was the first piece that we bought. One of my friends moved to Melbourne and he couldn't take his home gym with him, so I bought his Olympic plates and bar off him. So I've got probably 200 kilos of Olympic plates with, in my garage, plus I've got another 140 kilos of standard plates. Mm-hmm. Then I went and bought a multi-gym setup, which had, it's got a leg press on it, it's got pull-downs, it's got cables, high or low, leg extensions. So I can pretty much do everything. The only thing that I really, really want is a hack squat.
Yeah, yeah. I was just recently using a hack squat at the gym, because the way I structure my programs is I do most of my barbell free weight movements at home. And then when I do go into a gym, I just purely love using the machines. I'm a little bit of a machines fan, so I love the hack squat. And I have seen some prototypes of the like hack squat leg press kind of convertible machine. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to have something like that in my house. And I'd love to have like one of those free motion cable machines, and you can move the arms around. I think they're like the two pieces of like machinery that I would love to have in my home gym. But, you know, one is a cost issue and two is a space issue, primarily space issue. Yeah. But it sounds like you're getting some really cool machinery at home.
Yeah. Well, still building on it. So yeah. Eventually the goal is to have enough money to be able to buy my hack squat.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then tell me a little bit about writing some diets for some individuals, and you're dabbling in some carb cycling. So I know a little bit about carb cycling, but there's some people listening here who might not know about it. So can you give us a really super summary rundown of what it is and, you know, like what are the principles behind it?
Well, basically, my protein will stay the same. My fats will stay around the same, but I can manipulate them a little bit. But at the moment, I'm having two high days, and I base them on my leg days because they're my most intense workouts. At the moment, I'm having my high carbs sitting around maintenance on my high days. And then I'm still I'm probably about 500 calories lower on the on my low days. So I have high day, two low days, one high day, and then three low days.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're following a bit of like a carb cycle or even a calorie cycle where you know, maybe similar language would be on those higher training days, those leg days, you might have higher calories through higher carbohydrates. And then on other days you are following maybe like a lower carb day or maybe a lower calorie day total. Would that be kind of correct, your strategy?
So basically on those lower days, I'll be in a slight deficit. So my glycogen levels will start to deplete. And then when I get to my high day, I'm refilling the tank. I'll have another couple of low days to to flatten out again. But it seems to be working very well. My strength is still going up. My weight's going up, but still staying relatively lean. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great strategy. We choose not to use it in the challenge because of the complexity involved, and is quite suitable for more of that higher level advanced into the athlete type person. So it might not be super helpful for, you know, the general population in our point of view, but it can be a great strategy to manipulate our calorie intake and then to really support high level training, which would be perfect for yourself. And, you know, looking at your physique, I'm sure that those leg days can be quite grueling. And if you were in an energy deficit the entire time, geez, you wouldn't be able to put in, you know, a 10 out of 10 effort come leg day. So you might need those higher calories or higher carbohydrate intake on those particular days. And then on those days that you're not training to a higher level, you may be able to move into that deficit. So then you get to maintain this great body composition, which you have right now, as well as in this position where you're getting stronger, putting on some weight and ultimately putting on some size. So amazing that you're dabbling in some, you know, quite advanced strategies and techniques. And then I'm sure that you're teaching other people how to implement that. Is that the kind of diets that you are prescribing to some of these individuals, or is it something that you're just kind of playing around with yourself?
Yes and no. It would depend on the person, mm-hmm. Because not everyone wants to. You got to think about when writing a diet for someone that not everyone is going to be enjoy eating chicken and rice. You know, beef and rice, broccoli and oats, and that people like a little bit of variety. Mm-hmm. So some people, it would come down to assessing, first of all, their needs and if they're going to be able to handle the diet, because at the end of the day, there's no point in writing a diet for someone if they're not going to follow it. So, and yes, I will put some carb cycling in for someone if I feel like they're going to benefit from it. If I feel like they're not going to be able to stick to that, then I can sort of lean towards more of a if it fits your macros type plan. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the individual.
Yeah, no, I agree. And especially like goal specific, like you said, you know, you mentioned that you're studying maybe some competition prep, and I'm assuming maybe some physique competition prep, and that kind of carb cycling or calorie cycling strategies are really common in physique preparation, especially to maintain higher training volumes and stimulus, as well as trying to meet body composition goals. So with that course that you're doing, is that like a university or like an institution that?
Yeah, it's an online course there's an IFBB pro, his name is John Jewett. So he's started a company called J3 University. Mm-hmm. So this is it's just an online course. It's got about I think 18, 19 modules, and he goes through absolutely everything from beginning to end. So to do before prep, when to make decisions, when to manipulate those calories, what to do in peak week, and what to do after your competition. So this is a full year. You know, bodybuilding is a full-time job. Once the competition is over, it doesn't end. Then you've got your off-season diet, and so pretty much all year round, you're following a diet plan. You're following your training regime. You don't really take any time off. So this course covers everything from A to Z. Been really interesting, and just the fact that I have the opportunity to play around with different techniques and different strategies. And this time around, I was paying attention to my body and seeing where I needed to add carbs and where I could take them out a little bit, just seeing if I was flat or if how my workout felt, how my energy levels were, and I could then add in or take out as I needed.
Yeah. Talking about that idea of being flat or feeling flat, how are you using that word? Are you using it like maybe as an energy sort of thing, like I'm feeling flat, or a visual side of things, like my muscles feel or look flat? Like, how do you describe that to somebody?
I would say more of a physical flat. If I felt like my muscles looked flat, then I would add some carbs in. because mentally flat, I think that's going to come with the territory when you're dieting. I feel like if you're not a little bit flat, then you maybe should be pushing the envelope a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I like that. Look, Ricky, looking at your profile from the November challenge, you finished off your profile and you wrote, "I'll be back" in true Arnie fashion. So I want to talk about this challenge here and maybe speaking about why you chose to, come back for another challenge. So can you tell us a little bit of a story about why you decided to sign up for this January challenge?
I told you last time that I signed up initially to get a t-shirt, and I ended up getting three t-shirts, some awesome supplements and some pretty cool socks. So this time around, as I said, I played around with my own diet, wrote my own program. I obviously went in the goal this time to do better than I did last time, aiming for the top three, and obviously it didn't happen, but nothing, not to take away from the guys that won, that they all made some amazing transformations and they all look great. The guy that won, Goods?
Howard, yes.
Yeah, I actually voted for him. I actually voted for him in the, the People's Choice Awards. He looked amazing from where he came from, man.
Yeah, yeah. We just released a podcast with Howard, so make sure you go check that one out. But he looks like a brand new person. He embraced that transformation, hey?
Doesn't he? Yeah, he looks so much healthier.
Yep.
Honestly, like going in wanting to do better than I did last time and finishing in the same place. Initially, I was a little bit disappointed, but I don't think I could have done anything more. Like you said, it's not a bodybuilding competition, it's a transformation competition. And if we're going off, these guys made some amazing transformations, so props to them, man.
Yeah, look, if it was a bodybuilding show, like I would probably be putting you up in first place. So I just want you to know that. I guess I don't envy the judges who have to make that call, but you should be, again, so proud of the effort that you've put in. But look, talking about bodybuilding shows, and you're doing some training in some competition preparation and maybe coaching some people through that process. Where's the future for Ricky? Are you planning to step up on stage anytime soon?
I was planning on this year. I've got to start, for season B, I've got to start prep pretty soon. But I mean, I'm at the moment at my body fat percentage, my prep wouldn't need to be that long. So I could probably start out maybe in July or something like that. But yeah, definitely, it's definitely in the cards. I would like to find a good coach, just for the fact that prepping by yourself is you can hold yourself more accountable once you've got someone there to push you. But yeah, it's definitely an option. Definitely an option.
Yep. Ricky, look, talking about this January challenge here, I think that with every challenge or every competition prep, every fitness journey comes with their own unique challenges. So can you speak to us about this January experience over the 12 weeks of any challenges that you had to overcome to achieve this amazing result?
Yeah, well, the biggest challenge for me was, and I saw it coming in, I knew it was going to fall during Ramadan, this challenge. And I did mentally prepare for it, but I also knew that going from past years, that there's a high chance that I was going to be losing muscle in that time as well. We were fasting 12 hours a day, so I would wake up sometimes at 3:30 in the morning. I'll get 45 minutes of cardio in, eat my breakfast before the sun came up, and then I would try to stay up, but a lot of the time I would end up falling asleep for half an hour or something like that on the couch. The energy levels are obviously pretty flat, and I don't know about you, but I get hangry when I haven't eaten. So trying to be as patient as possible in that for that month, and it kind of lined up right towards the end of it. So apart from the challenge of not eating, when I broke my fast, it was very hard for me to not go all out and overeat. So my diet plan was structured as, I think we broke fast at around 5 or 6 o'clock at night. So I would eat, one or two dates. Then my second meal would be split into two meals. So instead of, say, having 100 grams of rice, I'd have 50 grams of rice with however much chicken. I would go and train, and then I would eat the second half of that meal. And then every 2 hours after that, until I got all of my macros in. So my last meal was probably around 10 o'clock at night sometimes. But going into the gym, some of the biggest lifts that I've done were during that fasting period. So I wasn't training fasted, obviously, but I feel like as soon as I'd broken my fast, it's just this rush of energy. I found like a lot of my injuries, inflammations had gone down, so I was able to push a lot more. I think it benefited me in the end, because if we look at it as sort of an intermittent fasting strategy, it'd be very similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it does follow that kind of like time-restricted eating protocol, let that be, you know, traditional intermittent fasting. Most of us think overnight or similar to what you're experiencing with Ramadan, or not eating during the day. Just to confirm, with Ramadan, you're also not drinking any water when the sun is up as well. Is that right?
That's right. So no water, no food,
mm-hmm.
during daylight hours at all.
Yep. And stop me if I'm getting too personal with your experience with Ramadan, but you do it every year, is that correct?
Yeah, I do it every year.
Yeah.
This was probably, I've had harder years, definitely. And one of the hardest things for me this year, though, was trying to diet, but also making sure that it doesn't take away from the whole reason of fasting in the first place. So I made sure that I was still getting my prayers in, you know, I was still trying to grow spiritually as well.
Yeah. Well, that's where these questions were leading towards, where maybe in the past when, training to the same intensity and dieting to the same intensity as you are right now might not have been on the cards, you know, let's say 12 months ago or 24 months ago. So if you were to compare like your experiences with Ramadan, you know, let's go maybe like 2 or 3 years ago to now, you've mentioned that in the past you might've had some tougher times through Ramadan, but you know, did you have to be, you know, super organized with your food and your strategies so that you can continue to train and you can continue to diet and reach your goals, as well as, like you said, being spirituals are the reason why that you're doing Ramadan. So tell us a little bit about that, like how organized did you have to be to get everything done like that
in the past, previous years, you mean?
Yeah, if you can to compare maybe previous years to now, and especially with now the priority in your life, sounds like, you know, dieting and exercise is such a big value to you. So could you compare maybe your previous experiences with Ramadan and the current experience with Ramadan?
Sure. Well, previous years I kind of took the month off training, or maybe I was under eating, being too scared to put food into my body, as a, you know, I was afraid that I was going to put on fat. So this year, as I said, I knew it was coming obviously before it came. So I was already pretty well set up to go head on into Ramadan, and mentally I was prepared to keep my diet going. I think honestly it was one of the best. Ramadans that I have had. I didn't take anything away from my religion. I still focused on that, and I think I found a pretty good balance between, you know, dieting and my religious practices. So
yeah, I love that. Ricky, I want to speak a little bit about your approach to training. So you've spoken a lot how over the past 12 weeks you've experimented with different strategies around nutrition and eating and dieting and those types of things. Can you speak to us a little bit about your approach to training? And if you were to compare, let's say, the November challenge last year to this January challenge, did you change much in the way that you trained in terms of, you know, going to the gym and lifting weights, that type of training?
I did play around with a push-pull leg split towards the end. But other than that, I maintained a, you know, typical bro split, as they call it. You know, legs Monday, chest Tuesday, whatever. I think push-pull legs, I always looked at it as kind of like a beginner's type program. But as I played around with it and made it my own, it was actually it was really good and I enjoyed it. The only problem is that I started to get tendinopathies in my biceps from overuse, obviously. But all in all, I think that is a pretty strong strategy. It's a pretty strong way to train, and I will go back to it. As of this week, I've come back to my normal training just to switch it up and give my tendons a rest. But that's a really beneficial way. If anyone wants to learn how to do a push-pull split, just hit me up. I had some really good benefits from that. Some really good results.
Yeah. So with that push-pull legs, were you cycling it through twice? So 6 days of training.
6 days. Yeah. The problem with me is I don't really have rest days, and I know that they say you grow when you're resting, right? So it was supposed to be push-pull legs, rest, push-pull legs, and then start again. But I ended up just doing push-pull legs, push-pull legs, push-pull legs with no rest in between. Plus, without having much sleep during that last month, you know, sometimes if I get to sleep at 11 o'clock and I wake up at 3:30 to do cardio, I'm only sleeping 4 hours a night. Your body, you're asking to get injured pretty much. So I've got to rest a little bit more. But I don't know. I think the hardest thing for us to do as bodybuilders or powerlifters or anyone is to pull back. It's a very hard, it's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your approach to cardio. So you mentioned that maybe every day you're waking up quite early to try to get maybe 45 minutes of cardio in. How do you define cardio for us?
Most days I would be up at 3:30 to do 45 minutes of cardio. If I couldn't get up in the morning to in time for me to do cardio and eat, I would definitely do it at night, but I would not skip it. For me, it was steady state cardio. I wasn't doing anything too intense, mainly because I was fasting. So if I was doing HIIT training in the morning, I'm going to find myself dehydrated and depleted pretty early on in the day. So it was 45 minutes of constant pace on the bike, which I also think helped my legs grow a bit as well. So that was another thing that I learned is cycling is amazing to build your quads.
Yeah, I think that I'm a little bit skeptical if like cycling has enough stimulus to stimulate muscle growth, especially given the size of your quadriceps. I think maybe individuals who are coming off the couch, they could spin their legs on a bike and they can grow some really great muscle in their legs. But I think there will be a time and place where we can't just do steady state cardio for forever to build our legs. But I do believe that by moving out our legs, it can promote some good, blood flow and some, flushing of like that lactic system and stuff. So that could be part of the way that, you build that muscle. But it sounds like you were finding ways to increase the amount of energy expenditure you did by trying to do some physical activity throughout the day. Your job though, that was quite physically active as well, right? Maintaining the facility and everything.
Yes, but I started that after Ramadan.
Right. Okay.
Ramadan. So I had 3 weeks off actually between jobs, which was also awesome. Mm-hmm. The only challenge with that is that when you're at home and you're fasting, what's the first thing you do when you're at home? You go to the fridge every 15 minutes to see what's in there.
It's the only thing on your mind, right?
Yeah, right. So your days go out a lot longer when you're not busy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it was a bad thing. Me having those 3 weeks off allowed me to reset and prepare for what was coming. So
yeah, that's so good. Ricky, from here, I want to speak a little bit about advice. So if you had someone come up to you and they, you know, wanted to lose a little bit of weight, or they were about to start their fitness journey, or maybe they were about to start the challenge, what advice would you give that person now?
I've got to say that I give so much credit to my training. I think the gym can teach you so much about life, what it takes to grow mentally and physically. It also offers amazing stress relief. It helps with depression and anxiety. I genuinely feel like, and you probably experienced this too, the gym, I think, could potentially save lives, not only in a health-wise, but mentally it can. I know for myself, it's definitely saved my life numerous times. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, training has taken me out of a dark place, you know. But if you haven't trained before, and you want to look better and feel better, I encourage you to pick some weights up and start moving them around. And the Max's Challenge is an awesome place to start, whether you're a beginner or you've got some experience. It's going to give you something to work towards. And if you need a push or anything, or some advice, feel free to hit me or Steve up. Be happy to help now.
Yes, anytime. Well, Ricky, are you offering any like consults or anything online?
Yeah, well, nothing marketed yet, but if you want to hit me up on Eat, Train and Trade on Instagram, I'll be able to give you some advice. I will be launching an online training app soon in the works, but I'm just trying to get my footing at my new job at the moment. But yeah, that's the end goal. I want to launch this online PT app and be able to help people reach their goals as well.
Yeah, no, how exciting. So the Instagram handle is at eat.train.trade, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and people are okay to DM you any questions about it?
Yeah, message me anything. I'll try to help as much as I can.
Awesome, I love it. Look, Ricky, let's wrap it up here for this episode of the Challenge Podcast. I want to thank you for donating some of your time once again to be part of the Challenge Podcast, and congratulate you on an amazing result. And, you know, honestly, from me to you, I want to say a big congratulations on your fitness journey, where, you know, over the past 12 months, I'm sure that you're constantly learning new things, developing new things, and, you know, improving your knowledge. And I think that's really important, especially as we become more advanced, where, you know, maybe previous ideas around training and nutrition and things that we held really close to us slowly evolve over time. We start to think, oh, maybe I want to try this, I want to try that, I want to dabble in this. Oh, this doesn't work, you know, push pull legs. Oh, I used to think it was a beginner's program, but when I tried it, it's actually, wow, it's quite challenging. And maybe I don't enjoy it, even though it's challenging, and I like this. So I think that's the great process of this, is the journey of fitness. And I do think that there's no right or wrong way to approach things. There's no dogma in fitness. You know, there's overall principles, and there's lots of ways to achieve those principles. And you showed us an amazing way that you have, where you've built this amazing physique. And I'm excited to see where you take your fitness journey, and especially stepping up on stage in season B, which is only a few months away.
So thank you very much for your time.